Chapter 2. The Fire Burns. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Dior called again, hands to her mouth.
Oi! Oi! Oi!
Came the reply, off in the dark. We stood in the quiet of Cairnheim, naught to break that dreadful still but the thunder outside and our own echoes within. Selene had stalked off alone, obviously in no mood for company. Phoebe and I were still well aware of the Ironhearts who pursued us, and with a nod to me, the lioness had slunk back out into the storm, silent as smoke. And so Dior and I roamed the chateau together, looking for answers in that quiet dark. Astrinka gleamed in the light of Dior's candelabrum as we searched those vast halls, but in my aegis, no light burned at all. We found an armory, ancient suits of plate and beautiful weapons arrayed in racks, all spackled with rust. A set of graven doors revealed a huge room with a checkered floor and statues carved in the likeness of great chess pieces. Every surface was covered in dust and ashes, every wall plastered with the word of God. Yet of the truths we sought in coming here, we'd found no word at all. We stood on the mezzanine of a grand library now, looking out on a sea of beautiful shelves and tomes, untouched for uncounted years.
Hello? Dior called again. Hello?
Came the echo in the gloom.
Hello?
The girl stood on tiptoe, drew breath to shout again.
Is anybody...
Lower your voice, for fuck's sakes, I growled, grabbing her arm. Dior blinked.
How will they hear me if I lower my voice?
Sweet mother-maid girl, look around us. I gestured to the dusty books, the empty halls. There's no one been in here for fucking years.
Well, if there's no one to hear me, why would I lower my voice?
If there's no one to hear you, why would you shout? She shrugged.
Because it's fun?
Fun? I scowled. She smirked and shouted again.
Echo! Echo! Echo!
7 martyrs. I pinched my nose, sighing. The master of this place was supposed to protect you, Dior. He was supposed to teach you the meaning of all this, and he's good for bugger all except gritting the garden path. The terrors are likely only waiting for nightfall to strike us. Do you have any idea what's coming for you? Do you understand how deeply, spine-shatteringly fucked we are?
Fucked we are. Fucked we are.
The girl flinched as I shouted, the smile fading on her lips. Crouching on the stone and dragging her hair over her eyes, I still saw a little of the spark in them die.
Let her enjoy herself, Gabriel,
came a whisper in my mind. I looked to the silvered dame in my hands, gleaming in the lantern light.
She wears the smile to cover the bleed inside. That is her strength. Steal not what joy she finds, but rejoice she finds it at all. She thinks the world of ye. Would ye be the one who makes her burn brighter, or casts shadow upon her flame, her flame?
I hung my head, ashamed at that. I was frustrated, aching with thirst, marvelling at the mistake I'd made in bringing Dior here at all. But as always, my blade spoke true. And though this girl might think the world of me, she meant the same to me, too. Apologies.
Apologies. Apologies.
Dior glanced up, scowling as I stood on tiptoe and shouted again. Sometimes I'm something of a cunt.
Cunt. Cunt.
The girl narrowed her eyes, lips twisting a little as she yelled,
Prick! Prick! prick.
I smiled. Wank truffle.
Truffle, truffle.
Dior grinned, climbing to her feet and bellowing,
Cock wombler. Wombler, wombler.
Fuck weasel, I counted. Weasel,
weasel. Twat goblin. Goblin, goblin.
Oi, I glowered, poking her chest. That one's mine.
I know,
she grinned, fire burning once more in her eyes.
I learned from the best.
Come on, I chuckled, tossing my head. Even if the master of the bloody house is dead, there must be some clue about all this Asani business in here. I'm buggered if I walked all the way to the Nightstones for nothing.
Dior lifted her light again, and we set out through Genoa's lair, searching for some hint, some crumb, some scrap of wisdom. We found servants' quarters, a music room, cold chambers and armoires shrouded in dust. The walls of Cairnheim rumbled as thunder rolled, a gathering storm blotting out the day's death skies. But if that ancient keep held any answers about bringing the sun back to the heavens, they were well hidden indeed. Why do they call them the Terrors?
I glanced to Dior as she spoke, her face underscored by dancing candlelight. Her voice was steady, her eyes ahead, not nearly as afraid as she should be.
You sure you want to know? I asked.
She nodded, just once. I took out my hip flask, downed a burning swallow. The first city the Forever King conquered after he crossed the Bay of Tears was named Lucia. When Fabien's legion broke through the gates, he unleashed his children to have their sport, as was his way. The soldiery were slaughtered, the baron killed, there seemed nowhere to run. And so folk fled to the sanctuary of Lucia's grand cathedral. It was a magnificent place, designed by the master, Albrecht. 6 centuries it has stood in the city's heart, and 3,000 of Lucia's citizens squeezed into its hallowed halls, desperate, weeping, praying. And that's where Alba and Elaine found them. As butchery unfolded in the city around them, the Terrors made the folk in the cathedral a proposition. The twins could set fire to the roof, they called, and burn all those within to death. But they'd no desire to destroy an edifice of such beauty. And so they promised half of the people within would be spared, if the other half were given up for slaughter. Dior stopped walking, turned to meet my eyes.
What happened?
I shrugged. Folk turned on each other, of course, like rats in a sinking ship. For fear of death, of those teeth, the poor turned on the wealthy, the strong on the weak, the normal on the strange. Murder and mayhem erupted in the cathedral's heart, innocent blood washing the floor of God's house, defiling it, profaning it, sacred ground no more. And with nothing now to hold them at bay, Alba and Elaine Voss kicked in the cathedral doors and murdered everyone inside. Man, woman, and child. I shook my head and sighed. Terror is what they are, Dior. Terror is what they do. She nodded slow, and though the fire still burned in her eyes, I hoped the tale instilled some sense of the darkness that was coming for her. We walked onward through long-abandoned galleries, furniture and tapestries all paled with time. A dining room was set with a dusty feast. The desiccated bodies of dozens of servants sat about it, all poisoned by the look. Climbing higher, we found a palatial boudoir, wind howling through the chill peaks outside. I gazed at the grand four-poster bed, dreaming of just one night's decent sleep, as Dior pushed through a set of grand double doors behind us.
Oh my God, she cried.
What? What is it? I shouldered past her, ready for bloodshed.
Figures waited beyond, dozens silhouetted in the dark. I raised Ashdrinker with fangs bared, but my foes remained motionless.
and squinting harder, I saw they were wrought not of flesh, but wood and iron. More statues, I realized, pulse still thundering. Not statues, Dior corrected, stepping in beside me. Clothes, men. You almost gave me a fucking heart seizure, girl. Dior mumbled a reply, incoherent, eyes wide as she peered around us. I saw now that we stood in the velvet and satin rows of a vast and kingly wardrobe. Shirts and jackets and dresses and greatcoats of finest cut and richest cloth.
Great fucking Redeemer, she whispered. Tell me I'm dreaming.
I shook my head, motioned back out to the hall. Come on, let's keep moving. The girl looked dumbfounded.
Surely you jest, Chevalier.
Do I look like I'm jesting? It's only a few hours to sunset. We need to find...
Gabriel de Leon.
Dior folded her arms, looked me over.
You are currently wearing a greatcoat older than I am, wrapped in what appears to be the remains of a dead dog.
It's a wolf skin. And who gives a fuck what I'm wearing?
Me. I give a fuck. You may have been born the grandson of a baron, but take it from someone who wears rags and slept in gutters all her life.
Dior planted her candelabrum on the floor like a flag on a conquered shore.
There are always fucks to give for fashion.
And turning, she dove in among the racks with joyful abandon. Dior soon emerged with armloads of fabric, tossing them to me before plunging back into the breach. I sighed, dragging off what I had to admit were leathers that had seen far better days. Candlelight gleamed across the silver ink on my skin as I shouldered my way into a black velvet shirt, a fine greatcoat of blood-red velvet with midnight black trim. It was a handsome cut, ankle-length and lined with good fur. Fashionable or no, it'd keep me a lot warmer than my old gear had. There were no mirrors in a cold-blood chateau to inspect the results, of course, but Dior soon emerged from the racks and put hands to hips, proudly declaring,
"You look fucking fabulous."
"Shut up."
"You shut up."
"Touché." The girl had abandoned the clothes I'd given her, tattered and travel-worn after long miles and bloody months. She was now resplendent in an embroidered golden waistcoat, and a frock coat and tricorn of lush blue-grey damask. Performing a pirouette, she dropped into a curtsy and looked to me for opinions.
Not bad, I conceded. Waistcoat's a bit showy.
This is the nicest waistcoat I've ever worn in my life.
Does that say more about your life or the waistcoat?
Silence,
she raised a hand, imperious.
Ruin this for me, ye shall not.
Want to bet?
I grinned, and she laughed, and the warmth between us served to banish Cairnheim's chill better than any great coat under heaven. We were hundreds of miles from nowhere, in the castle of a monster long dead. The answers we'd sought had been denied us, and the terrors were only a sunset away. My thirst was growing, drowned only by a constant diet of Sanctus and liquor, and my stores of both were running low. Hope seemed a distant star, lost in the darkness that had covered the skies since I was a boy. But looking into Dior's eyes as she smiled, it wasn't so hard to remember how warm the sun had been. I fished inside the lining of her old coat, retrieved the phial of my blood that I'd given her. By the small tricks of sanguimancy I'd mastered over the years, I could still feel that blood, and I'd used it to track Dior in the past. The girl sighed, but made no objection as I broke the stitching of her new hemline and slipped the blood inside. "Just in case," I told her. Dior rolled her eyes, gave a long, suffering sigh. "Oui, papa." We both stopped as she spoke that word, meeting the other's eyes. The weight of it was lead, too heavy to carry, and I brushed it aside as I nodded to the hallway, gruff. "Come on, your answers won't find themselves." The girl nodded, squaring her shoulders and tossing me an overstuffed saddlebag. Peering inside, I saw emerald silk, pale fox fur, raising an eyebrow in question.
"Something for Phoebe," Dior explained.
"Mademoiselle La Dunzer doesn't strike me as the type, Dior."
"Because you lack vision, Chevalier," the girl grinned.
Her smile faded to a thoughtful pout, eyes drifting back to the fabrics around us.
"We should get something for Selene too, I suppose."
I looked at the ceiling above our heads, scowling.
"Hell with Selene."
On we walked, through the dark and chill hallways of that silent crypt, no grand revelations or ancient wisdoms to be unearthed in any of them. But in the end, we climbed to the reaches of Cairnheim's topmost level and found a scrap of hope, at least. Another set of mighty bronze doors loomed before us, embossed with twin skulls on a towered shield. Beneath that sigil were wrought two words in old Eladani, carved on a scroll in an ornate script. Recalling what I could of that now-dead tongue, I realized with cold dread that somehow I already knew these words, that some part of me had always known them. A voice in my head whispered of years long past, of creatures long dead, of a legacy long forgot. "Do you remember the creed of Bloodvoss?" Dior blinked at my strange question, answering by rote, "All shall kneel." I smiled soft. "And the Divok, my young prentice?"
"Deeds, not words."
She looked over the design on the door, blue eyes widening.
"Is that what this is? The sigil of Bloodisani?"
I nodded, my fingers tracing the shapes of those graven skulls. "I first saw it years ago, in the pages of a book Astrid discovered in Saint-Michel. But I never noticed before."
"Noticed what?"
"Look close. What do you see?" Dior stepped nearer, brow furrowing. But her eyes were sharp and her mind sharper, and in the end she spotted it, same as I. Clear as crystal water once unveiled, never to be unseen. A shape wrought in the negative space between the skulls.
"A cup," she whispered. "A chalice."
"No chalice," I said, meeting her eyes. "The Grail."
"Seven martyrs."
She breathed deep, lips parted in wonder.
"What are the words?"
I ran my fingers over the letters, their weight now thrumming in my veins.
"Judgment comes."
We pushed through the doorway, dead skulls seeming to stare at us as we passed, the image of the Holy Grail burning between them. And beyond the threshold awaited the strangest room we'd yet discovered in that silent tomb. It was huge. Freezing. The last thing a sane man might have expected to find in the lair of one of the damned.
"A chapel," I breathed.
But no chapel I'd seen like of. A great circular room, echoing with the song of the rising storm. In its heart rested a round granite altar, ringed with stone pews. Above it hung a statue of the Redeemer, strung upon his wheel, and before it, like a penitent, knelt my sister, hands splayed upon cold stone. Unlike the rest of Cairnheim, the walls of the chapel were not decorated with scripture, but a great bas-relief circling the entire room. Gazing about us, I saw hundreds of figures, clad in archaic armour and carrying standards of the One Faith. They were embroiled in some vast battle, fighting and killing and dying.
"Gabriel," Dior whispered, "their teeth."
Looking closer, I felt a chill run through me. For while they'd seemed as men and women at a glance, I saw now the canines of those warriors were long and sharp as knives. Not teeth, I realized. Fangs. Before the altar, I saw a stain on the ground, etched in black. A burn, I realized. A burn in the shape of a man. It was spread-eagled, mirroring the pose of the Redeemer above. Nothing but ashes. My sister was knelt before those remains, head bowed as if in prayer, curtains of midnight blue hair tumbling forward to hide her face. Upon the altar rested an open book, or the statue of one at least, wrought of the same dark stone. Stepping closer, Dior beside me, I saw the left page was etched with a familiar verse, that snatch of prophecy Chloe had taught me, back when all this began. From holy cup comes holy light, the faithful hand sets world aright, and in the seven martyrs' sight, mere man shall end this endless night. The right page was similar to the left, another stanza once carved upon the stone. It had been smashed by some terrible blow, its pieces scattered in the dust long ago. And yet, on the very edge of that broken page, letters were still faintly legible among the cracks. "This black," I squinted, trying to make out the words. "Does that say well?"
"Veil,"
Dior whispered. She ran her fingers over the letters, trembling as she spoke.
"This blackened veil shall be undone."
The girl looked up into my eyes, her own gone bright and wide. "The right book is worth 100 blades." This was it then. The clue we'd come here seeking. It seemed there was another half to the prophecy, perhaps the answer to the riddle of all Dior must do. But the one who knew the whole of it lay in ashes on the floor, and the verse itself was shattered, our answers just beyond our reach. Dior sank to her knees, trying to piece together the tiny fragments to make some sense of all this. I gazed around the bas-relief, those warring kith, armies of vampires slaying each other. I looked up to the statue of the Redeemer, so similar to the one in Saint-Michel. All I'd done, all I'd risked coming here now ringing in my head. "What the hell is this, Selene?" I demanded. My sister was still knelt before those ashes, her voice hissing, hateful.
"A sin too monstrous to forgive."
Dior looked up from the broken pieces of the page, jaw clenched.
"Look here, I know it's what you do, but the cryptic dead girl shite is wearing awfully thin, Selene."
My sister murmured, bowing her head deeper before the statue of the Almighty Sun, making the sign of the wheel. And as she stood and turned toward us, I saw with astonishment that she was weeping, bloody tears streaming down her porcelain mask, staining her pale cheeks red as murder.
"He killed them, Dior."
Selene's whisper trembled with impossible rage as she gestured to the floor. And there, beside the ashes where she'd knelt, I saw words daubed in old black blood. "This weight, too long. This weight, too heavy. Father, forgive me."
"Master Genoa," Selene hissed. "He took the lives of his servants and Laethe, and then he took his own, committing the greatest sin, consigning himself to the fires of hell and the thousand shriven souls along with him."
Dior shook her head.
"I don't understand."
"He could not bear it. The years, the burden."
Selene lifted her chin, resolute. She began pacing then, wringing her hands as she spoke her tumbling thoughts aloud, a voice fraying at the edges.
"But fear not, Cherie. Genoa was not the only Isana remaining, as I said. Mother Marin herself resides beneath Dunmay again, but a month's march from here. The journey will doubtless be perilous, but weak."
"I mean, I don't understand any of it,"
Dior roared, rising to her feet and gesturing to the carvings around us.
"What the hell is all this? What does it mean?"
Selene stopped her pacing, lifting her eyes to Dior.
"We do not have all the answers, Cherie."
"At this point, I'll settle for one."
"I am only Laethe. I was not shown the path to your destiny. I do not..."
"Oh, enough bullshit!"
the girl shouted, her temper finally breaking loose.
"You've dragged us to the arse end of nowhere, and all we have to show for it are dust and ashes. The Voss will be on us like maggots on a corpse as soon as the sun goes down. Hell with my destiny, this is my life. Gabe's life. Phoebe's life."
Dior stepped forward, pale blue eyes burning now in fury.
I don't give a shit about the pieces that are missing. I want the pieces you have. Right fucking now. Or we are done, Selene. You hear me?
My sister glowered at that, pale eyes hard as stone. Dior met that dead stare, jaw clenched, gutter hard and alley born. I was surprised at her outburst, her frustration and fury. She was but 17 years old, this girl, a few months of war under her belt, a few hundred miles facing down a monster with the power of centuries at her fingertips. But in the end, for all that strength, it was Selene who lowered her gaze. My sister stared down at her empty hands, hung her head and sighed.
We will tell you what we know.